Greet each of you in Jesus' name this morning. It's encouragement to be here this morning and to be challenged already again in the Word of God. And appreciated the devotional that was shared with us that is the basis of our complete belief system if we are a Christian. Is God and who He is and the place that He has, the place we put Him in our life. And that works its way all the way out on a Tuesday afternoon or whatever practical area you want to put in there. The Apostle Paul said that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us who are saved, it is the power of God. And this morning I'd like to consider the cross for a while. As I think of what to share, I'd like to consider that in the way of the cost and the benefits of following the way of the cross, and also maybe as a way of a simple message of salvation. And I think that the scriptures often call us back to a view of the cross, a view of the sacrifice of Christ and what he has done for us. And in the midst of life, in the midst of hardships, we sang that song that God is still good. It's a beautiful song. I'd like to learn it better. But the reason that God is still good is because He has showed us the cross. It does not mean that the way of the cross is always easy, that there's not a hill to climb to the cross. There's not a reproach that we need to endure. But the place under the cross is a beautiful place. I was impressed with one of the verses that Brother Clayton read in Isaiah 43. Verse 11, he says, "I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." That's the Old Testament. The foundational truth. And Brother Aaron read that this morning in devotions, that Jesus is the door. There is no other way to go through a wall than through the door. There's no other correct way to go through the wall unless we go through the door. And every relationship foundation must be upon that doorway. That's where it all must be based upon. The cost and the benefits of discipleship. And I'd like to read in Luke chapter 14, verse 25 through verse 35, and these words of Jesus are words that are very defining. They are some of the most defining admonition to the Christian that I can think of in the Scriptures. And it uses words like cannot, or doth not, forsaketh not, he cannot. Very defining words. I want to read these verses, Luke 14, verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build, and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. There's a lot of admonition here in this scripture, and we want to look at what is discipleship. We want to look at the cost of discipleship, and then the benefits of discipleship, and then the promise of discipleship. As we think of discipleship, you probably, with me, think of the 12 disciples that Jesus had while he was on earth, that 3 years of his ministry, he chose 12 men to follow him. And he taught them specific things during his earthly ministry, and then they were the ones that carried on the work of Christ after he went back to heaven. But there is a little bit of a broader sense of that, where a lot of rabbis in that time, and maybe even today, have disciples. They have those that follow them, those that they teach. A disciple is a follower of a person or idea. Somebody who believes in and follows the teachings of a leader, philosophy, or religion. And of course, we know that us as disciples, we're following Christ, we're following his word, and we all are disciples. There is a certain amount that no matter who we are a follower of something, and in that aspect, we are a disciple. We may not take up books and spend time at school at the feet of a teacher, but rather in the school of life, we sit at the feet of the master teacher and learn from his book, the Bible. And we are interested in learning about something, usually, normally. There is something that interests us. And what are we disciples of? The reference of a disciple in the scriptures means the pupil of someone, in contrast to the master or teacher. It's not the master, it's not the teacher that is learning, but it's the disciple that is learning. And Jesus said that the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So if we want to be a perfect disciple, we want to mirror Christ exactly. It implies that the person not only accepts the views of the teacher, but he also has the same practice as the teacher. This word has several implications, and in the widest sense, it refers to those who accept the teachings of anyone. They're also a disciple. I touched on that a little bit. Not only in belief, but in life. That comes out. But in most cases, the word disciple is used with the followers of Christ. Christians are little Christ. And today we use the word Christian more than disciples. And that term is broadly used. We understand that. But I want to continue to look at what discipleship is and what it costs as we think of the cost and benefit of discipleship. This morning, the third song that we sang, I'm not sure if you remember the words that you sang, the song, "So Let Our Lives and Lips Express." Verse 2 says, "Thus shall we best proclaim abroad the honor of our Savior God, when thus salvation reigns within and grace subdues the power of sin. Our flesh and sense must be denied, passion and envy, lust and pride, while justice, temperance, truth, and love our inward piety approve. Religion bears our spirits up while we expect that blessed hope that brings appearance of the Lord, and faith stands leaning on his word. In other words, there's a very practical aspect of being a disciple of somebody. And I want to now look at the cost of discipleship. And we can ask the question, does it matter what it costs? Is that even a concern? If there's a path we know we need to go on, does the cost even matter? And I believe, according to what Jesus was teaching here in the verses I read, that it should be considered. Because if we embark on a path that we don't know what we need to give up, we are very likely to become discouraged and we will not follow through with that initial commitment. And it seems that Jesus was very concerned that we understand what the cost of discipleship is. He gives a few illustrations here of someone who began a task and didn't count the cost. That was the path that they were going to go, but they didn't take the time to count the cost. And they didn't know how much it would cost. And then they were unable to finish. And then it says there in verse 33, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." There is an aspect of discipleship that we need to understand what it costs. The cost is simple. It is all that we have. That is how much it costs. And we have heard that many times. I have heard it over and over. And I think sometimes it has went over my head. And I don't understand totally what it means to forsake all that we have. And I'm not saying that I even do understand it now. But in contrast to Jesus' teaching, there are voices today, and there are teachings today, that are saying that to be a disciple doesn't cost as much as what people think it does. Or they're watering down the scriptures. Or it doesn't cost, you don't have to be that radical. You may still seek pleasure. You may be materialistic. You may still covet. You can be immoral, because Jesus has many disciples that are doing these things. We are Christians too. And we know that we reject that because of the scriptures that Jesus taught us. But where in my thinking, in my theology, where is a small amount of immorality okay? Jesus said we must forsake all that we have. At what point is the thought that I think sin? And I think you know what I'm talking about. But Jesus said, unless we forsake all, you cannot be. What is the cost of discipleship? I think that what we're talking about here with the cost of discipleship is also the commitment. That's very similar. The commitment we have to see it through and to make Jesus Lord of our life. What is my view of the cost of discipleship? Sometimes if I think that, well, I am weak in this area, but I'm strong in this area. And so therefore that balances out my good in the sight of God. And isn't it also true, if it costs all that we have, isn't it also true that the more we have, the more it costs? We have to forsake all. Everything we do must come under the schooling of the scriptures. And that affects all of my life. Jesus said, he talked here about earthly relationships. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But we're talking about the cost. Does it matter what it costs? yes, it does matter what it costs. Because sometimes when we start on a project and we realize that there's an unknown expense before us, the commitment is lagging to pay that expense. Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel to learn the law, and it cost Paul something to be a disciple of Gamaliel. He was also unashamed to be a disciple of Gamaliel as a master of the law, and he was unashamed to be identified with other disciples that were there. And as we think of what it should cost us, Jesus made it very clear. Three times in this passage, Jesus said, if you do this or you don't do this, ye cannot be my disciple. We want to be a disciple of Jesus. So there are things that we must do and must not do. I have a few points here of what it costs. The first one is that all relationships are subservient to our relationship to Jesus Christ. Verse 26 brings that out, and he talks about some very dear relationships to us. Some relationships that are very close to our hearts. And he uses this word hate here. And we understand, in the English language, we understand that to hate somebody, we have animosity towards that person. But in the Greek, I'm still trying to totally understand this, but it does say to detest. But it goes on to mean love less. And of course, I would like to rather say love less. We must love less. And I don't know if I totally understand what Jesus was saying here. But I think maybe he was using strong enough language that he wanted us to get the point. He said here, if any man come to me and detest not. I can't tell you a different meaning than what it means. Or if any man come to me and love less, and doesn't love less his father, mother, wife, children, and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And then I thought, well, maybe we could put the detest part on his own life and just say love less on the relationships that are close to us. But I think you get the point. It's very important to Christ that we follow him, that he's first in our life. And I thought about this aspect too, that if you want to love your wife, love Christ more. If you want to love your father, love Christ more. If you want to love your brother, love Christ more. Because the whole foundation of love is genuinely original in that relationship with God. And if we want to love someone better, the closer we are to God, the better that reflection is to that other person. But unless that earthly relationships are subservient to the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, he cannot be Christ's disciple. There is a test that comes to every person, I suppose, who comes to Christ. This test will be who has his allegiance. And there have been many who have, because of their relationship, turned back on the scriptures, turned back on the church. And they have loved more their earthly relationships than their relationship with Christ. And this morning I want to say that I appreciate our earthly relationships. And in a sense, we hardly know what that means. But in a sense, I believe there is a measure of testing that comes to us as well. That I am grateful for the parents, the brothers and the sisters, the wife, the husband, those relationships that help our relationship with Christ. There have been people who have left houses, land, families for the sake of the gospel. They have left jobs, retirement accounts, good-paying jobs because of the call to discipleship. And it's very important that we love those earthly relationships. The Bible teaches that. In fact, we preach about it. We expect that to happen. And I'm not minimizing at all the respect and love that should go in those earthly relationships with each other. But it is more important to love them less than Christ. Further on, it says we need to hate our own life also. And maybe that's the one that is the problem for me, for us in our time, where he says, yea, and his own life also. He lists all the earthly relationships here. And then he says, yea, and your own life also. It's getting closer home all the time. And what greater deterrent to spirituality than my own heart, as I would follow that. Another cost is that we must be willing to bear our cross. In verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. Again, very defining words. If you do not bear his cross, you cannot be his disciple. Bear means to endure or declare, sustain, receive, carry, or take up. We must be willing to receive and declare, sustain, and endure the reproach the cross gave to Christ. It was a very humiliating experience to be crucified. Hebrews 13, verse 13 says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And again, I don't always know how in American society these things are literally carried out. But there will be times when there is a reproach to the cross-bearing disciple, no matter what culture we live in. And we must be willing to carry that heavy burden up that steep hill with a bleeding back from being beaten as Christ. It speaks of obedience. Because of our allegiance to the cross, we are obedient to the requirements of the master teacher that went the way before us. Obedience to the commands of Jesus. It speaks of making him completely Lord of my life and following him in every area. I think of the experience I had a couple months ago. I was in a meeting at a local town, and it was a public meeting. It was a planning board meeting, and somebody else was there with me. We went to that meeting, and I did not know this. I was not expecting this, but they brought the meeting to order, and then they said, let's all stand together and pledge allegiance to the flag. And there was a flag up in the corner. And I never gave it a thought that that's what they would do. And there was a decision I had to make. And, of course, I didn't participate in that. But this was a meeting that I had conversations. In fact, the man that chaired the meeting and asked that, I had numerous conversations with him on an everyday level and felt like I knew him fairly well. And we were in the back of the room. I felt, thankfully, that we weren't that noticed, that we didn't participate. But this man was at the front of the room looking my direction. And there I was. And they declared their allegiance and their commitment to the flag that I can't recite it. You've heard it before, I'm sure. That they even said, "So help me God." That they were committed. If there would be a war that would be with Iran, I believe every one of those people would go and fight for this country. At least that's what they said they would do by pledging allegiance to that flag. They crossed their heart. That's where their allegiance was. And the thought hit me there of how vastly different and how vastly contrast our allegiance were that time, that moment. And I had to think about what I would say if that man I knew came back to me, even in that meeting, and asked me to come forward and explain to these people why I could not pledge allegiance to this flag. Those were some of the thoughts that went through my mind. I, by the grace of God, I hope I could do that. But I think what we've been talking about this morning is the total reason. It's because we are disciple of Jesus Christ. And that's where our allegiance is. Now, I'd like to take you to another little hypothetical situation. So there, we can say, is the vast contrast of two kingdoms. There's the flag, there's the cross. Between the flag and the cross, there's a lot of room for allegiance to be divided, for us to go one way or another. And I hope you're thinking with me. It's not always that black and white. There was no question in my mind whether I was going to pledge allegiance to the flag or not because of what I knew the scriptures taught. But what about if there were an issue halfway between the flag and the cross, let's say somewhere in the middle? And I don't know what issue to put there. I think at those times, and I'm struggling to find something to put there. I don't know what to, you probably think of all kinds of things you could put there. A new pickup, or a new dress, or anyway, I think you get the point. But at those times, the cross must have our allegiance. If we question that allegiance at that point, we are going to lose our way. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And I think we know what it means when we talk about denying self. And I had to think about this in my own heart, that there's something small I wanted. I felt like it looked better. I felt like I liked it better. But the conscience pricked. And I knew that if I did it, if I indulged in it, I wouldn't be denying self. I would be going against that allegiance I have to the cross. I think we need to think about those things. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh, and it doesn't stop there, with the affections and lust. With the affections and lust. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the things that they like and the things that your flesh desires. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I'm not near getting done. The cost of discipleship remains the same all through life. It's important to start. It's very important to start. And if you here this morning have not committed your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it's very important that you start, that you do that. You take that step. You repent of your sins. You follow Christ. But it's also equally important for us to continue all the way to the end. We can start ever so good, and we can go 20 years ever so good. We can go 40 years ever so good. But unless we finish, we will not attain. Are there benefits? Can you think of any benefits that you have by being a disciple of Jesus? I'm sure you can. There are many. I'd like to look at seven maybe real quickly here. But the peace, the joy, the comfort. Do you know what it means? Do you know how it feels to surrender a will? The struggle, the tears, the turmoil, the heartache that comes from following my will and then to experience the peace of surrender. Do you know what it means? Do you know what it feels? The benefits, I'd like to look at them. We have the benefit of being clean through the word that Jesus has spoken. And verse 3, I think I missed something. I was going to turn to John 15. We won't do that because of time, but that is a familiar passage. Maybe we should, just to highlight a few things. I'll point to some verses as we go along, maybe. John 15, verse 3 says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." The benefit of the cross of Jesus Christ. Have you experienced the cleansing of Jesus' blood? We can be clean without spot and blameless. We know about keeping ourselves unspotted from the world and the need for pure religion. And it's the cleansing of Jesus' blood. I know what it's like to be dirty inside, to have a guilty conscience, and to be far from God. I know what that's like. But I also know what it's like to be clean. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The benefit. And if we were to take this benefit, and if that were the only benefit, that would it not far outweigh the cost? Just this one. Another benefit is we can draw life out of the vine because we are connected to it. Verse 4 says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me." We have the privilege of drawing life from the source of life. It's not second best. It's not almost the best. we have the privilege of being connected to the vine. And in fact, he says here, he uses this word cannot again. Very definitive. Abide in Christ and Christ in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit. And if there is not fruit bearing in my life, we have every right to question the connection to the vine. We also have the privilege of bearing much fruit. Verse 5 and verse 8. Verse 8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." If we are a disciple of Christ, we'll bear fruit, much fruit. Another one is we have the privilege of answered prayer. Verse 7, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Over and over, the prayers of saints have been answered. We can experience the love of God, verse 9 through verse 13. We can have joy to the fullest degree, verse 11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Jesus' teaching was not for us to live a drudgery life, but the most joyful life is a fully surrendered disciple following the Master in every way he can, every way he knows. We also have the benefit of being the friend of Jesus. Verse 14, verse 15, "Ye are my friends, if." Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." What better benefit do we have as the followers of Jesus Christ? The benefits that we receive from the disciple of Christ. Now I'd like to look at the promise of discipleship. If you turn to Luke 18, Luke 18 and verse 29 and verse 30, we're somewhat coming full circle here. Verse 28, Luke 18, verse 28, "Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee." So here was Peter that maybe we could say did exactly what Jesus taught him to do. He left all and followed him. Notice what Jesus said in verse 29, "And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting." We're talking about the benefits of discipleship. The cost, yes, is high. The cost is all. It's completely all. But the benefits are higher, or more. He says here, there's nobody that has met the requirements that Jesus laid out to be his disciple that will not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. We're talking about the cost and the benefits of discipleship. Unless you're here this morning discouraged about the path of discipleship, I'd like to hold these verses up for you. That there is manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. I didn't make these words up. It's the words of Scripture. God is still good, and he still fulfills his promises. Let's cling to them, and let's follow the way of the Bible, because that is the only way that he will bless our life. Let's kneel together for prayer.